Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Axia Group's first quarter 2010 results briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Dato' Sri Jamaludin. You may begin.
Good evening. My name is Jamal. I'm with my management team, both from Axiata and three reps from the respective three opcos. Let me begin with the presentation. First, the highlights, the performance highlights. As you perhaps have seen, the momentum continued from an exceptional fourth quarter into the first quarter of 2010, showing strong signs of sustainability. One of the highlights of this quarter is Dialog recorded a turnaround in profitability for the first time after six quarters of losses. XL posted another exceptional quarter, while Celcom maintained leadership in mobile broadband with highest net add ever. Very important point to note is the efforts on the CMP, or cost management program, which we have seen the results over the last few quarters, showing results again with improved profitability across the board. Our regional mobile subscribers grew 37% to about 130 million subscribers. Idea posted a strong finish in their financial year amid challenges in the sector. M1 showed positive overall performance. That's the performance highlights for the group. A bit more detail, as you can see on the next slide, slide number four, we have seen sustainable performance and, in fact, improved performance in most of the opcos, especially Celcom, XL, and, like I said, the highlights of the quarter is the turnaround in Dialog. Short-term pressure in Robi from acquisition drive, you could see the impact for this quarter. On Celcom, we continued growth momentum from exceptional fourth quarter with further improvement in margin. I think the focus on margins has significantly reflected in the performance this quarter. We also have very strong net adds for mobile broadband ever. For XL, the yield management strategy is very consistent what we developed back to 2009, again showing results across the board in terms of revenue and especially, again, profit through. And as you can see, the monetization of minutes showed significant results right to the bottom line. On Dialog, as I said earlier, we have had a major rescaling effort during the turnaround program that has had results over the last few quarters, with EBITDA growing every quarter by quarter without fail for the last five quarters. However, in the first quarter 2010, for the first time, profits became positive, although marginal, but it's a good sign showing that the turnaround, not completed, but has shown it is a major milestone. Robi, we're going rapidly through the acquisition drive. That has impacted our short-term margins and profitability, but we believe very strongly that that's the right thing to do from a medium-term perspective. And as I said, M1 and Idea have done also reasonably well first quarter. The next chart, slide 5, gives perhaps the overview, at least from you can see the quarter-on-quarter performance and the year-on-year performance, mostly, in fact, almost all, except Robi, up very nicely for the quarter-on-quarter across the board for revenue, EBITDA, PATAMI. And on the year-on-year performance, similarly, on revenue, EBITDA, and PATAMI, all the opcos have shown positive growth. In fact, you could see that all of them grew double-digit in almost every category of revenue, EBITDA, and PATAMI. That more or less gives you quite a good view of the performance of all the opcos. Let me pass to my CFO, Dr. Yusof, to give you further more details.
Thank you, Dr. Sri. Moving on to slide number 6 is the slide showing our headline revenue number. As you can see, quarter-on-quarter, we grew 2%. What is also quite interesting from all of this is that revenue growth from all of the subsidiaries remain robust, even in respect of Robi, where I'll show you in later slides that if you normalize it for a one-off item which appeared in the fourth quarter of 2009, revenue growth in Bangladesh grew by 5%. Slide number seven is the slide on EBITDA. EBITDA actually grew faster than the top line, up 3% quarter-on-quarter and up 52% year-on-year. Efforts around cost management programs have come through quite nicely. And if you look at both Celcom as well as Excel and Dialog, EBITDA growth remains robust. PATAMI for the quarter was very strong at 9.21. That included a gain on the sale of Excel, which happened on 31st March of 2009. If you strip that out, which is the following slide, slide number nine, you can still see that normalized growth at PATAMI is up 8%. Some of the one-off gains, as well as the accelerated depreciation and Forex, pushed the numbers up to 921. But we still showed an 8% growth in our normalized PATAMI. Moving on to slide number 10, subscribers for the group grew by 37% year-on-year. This, again, I wish to reiterate that includes 100% or a gross number, and it also includes India. Clearly, if you look at the numbers, Robi is probably one of the fastest-growing subs, has a fastest-growing sub base in our group at this point in time, as well as India. Slide number slide number 11 is the breakdown of revenue and EBITDA. And this slide, for the first time, I think, is showing a very different picture than what it used to. For the first quarter of 2010, Excel, in terms of EBITDA, is now 46% of the group, and Celcom is 43%. So basically, Excel, as from an EBITDA perspective, is now larger. Revenue-wise, Celcom is still much bigger, and PATAMI, clearly Celcom is still a much bigger entity, but Excel's growth in terms of its EBITDA has now come through and is reflected in the group numbers for EBITDA. Slide number 12, group capex and financial leverage. I just want to point out with this particular slide, in terms of the financial leverage, if you look at those numbers of gross debt to EBITDA, net debt to EBITDA, in terms of the net number and in terms of the cash and bank balances, that those numbers exclude 1.7 billion ringgit, which we received post the first quarter ending, and that is in our balance sheets reflected in other debtors. So our total cash as a group is actually closer to 4.6 billion, and our net debt to EBITDA is obviously much lower than that. Capex for the quarter, 477. Our guidance of 3.6 billion remains intact, and the majority of capex is still being spent in Excel. Moving on to Celcom, to Malaysia Celcom, slide number 14. If you look at Celcom, Celcom came off a very strong fourth quarter with top line growth of 6% last year. At the end of last year, and despite that, and still managed to grow by 0.2% in the first quarter of 2010. As I said earlier, the cost management program within the Axiata Group remains robust and is gaining traction. Celcom improved EBITDA by 2%, and EBITDA margins improved by 0.7. And again, we'll show some normalizations, which will show you that EBITDA margins for Celcom is probably closer to around 47-48%. If you look at PATAMI, 441 million for the quarter. The following slide gives you a breakdown of costs as a percentage of revenue for Celcom. I just want to point out that, you know, network costs, which was significantly higher in Celcom at about 11.7% in the first quarter of 2009, has now, over the last couple of quarters, trended below 10%. So all the efforts around network costs have come through quite nicely, and we've managed to sustain that number. All other costs have come down, and especially around bad debts, which were significantly higher in the end of the fourth quarter, but now down to 1.8%. Following slide number 16 is the operational matrix. On a total sub basis, on a quarter-to-quarter, we're up 2%. And the MOUs are slightly down because of our package, our 1+5, which has been very successful. Slide number 17 covers our broadband business in Telkom. And then if you note, in the last quarter of 2009, broadband subs didn't grow very fast. And I think that was it was on purpose, primarily because we decided to use the fourth quarter to sort of rejig the network to give our customers a better experience. In the first quarter, sub growth came back very strongly, up 24% quarter on quarter, while revenue was up 14%. Telkom remains the market leader with the mobile broadband in Malaysia. Moving on to Indonesia, XL, I understand most of you would have seen these numbers a couple of weeks ago when XL announced its results, so I'll very quickly run through them. Top line grew by a very strong 3% in the quarter, and normally for the Axiata Group, the first quarter has always been a sort of a quieter quarter, especially of a strong fourth quarter, and despite that, XL still managed to do a 3% growth. What is even more, I think, compelling for XL is their EBITDA margins reached a high of 51% in the first quarter, and PATAMI was very strong at 12, up 18%. Clearly, in the case of XL, for the quarter, with the rupiah remaining strong, we didn't have significant issues around forex movement. Slide number 20 gives you the same breakdown, and in the case of XL, there has been no significant. In fact, all the metrics show much lower numbers, and therefore, EBITDA margins were very strong at 51%. Slide number 21, I won't run through this. This is pretty straightforward. Moving on to Sri Lanka Dialog. Dialog as well announced its results about 10 days ago, and clearly I think this is the turnaround has happened in Dialog, and we are now PAT positive, and all the hard work we've done over the last 2 years in terms of rescaling the business has come through quite nicely. Revenue up 2%, normalized EBITDA up 18%, and as I said earlier, for the first time in the last, I think it is now four quarters or more, Sri Lanka is now PAT positive. You can see the benefits of the rescaling in slide number 24, where network costs, sales and marketing, direct expenses, staff costs, have all come down sharply, and therefore they've improved their EBITDA margins to 33% for this quarter. In terms of the financial position, again, Dialog has used an opportunity to deleverage, where gross debt to EBITDA is now down from 4 times to 2.1 times. Slide number 25 gives you a little bit of a snapshot on the cost rescaling on the back of aggressive marketing campaign. And the numbers are there for you to see. Slide number 26, operational performance. Again, I won't go through that, but clearly the stability in the business has gained traction, and the cost rescaling efforts are coming through quite nicely for us. Going to Bangladesh, which is Robi, we've changed the name in the last quarter. And if you look at revenue, if you normalize the revenue, because in the fourth quarter last year, we recognized IGW revenue, which at the end of the quarter, and if you strip that out, actually, the business grew 5% on a comparable basis. EBITDA slightly down because there was an aggression in the first quarter from our part in terms of subscriber acquisitions, as well as PAT was a much smaller number compared to the fourth quarter. But in the case of Bangladesh, I think the key thing to focus is a year-on-year number, and those numbers remain robust. Within quarters itself, aggression by us in terms of acquiring subscribers will have an impact on our EBITDA margins because the SIM tax remains in place, and we have to expense the SIM tax immediately upon activation by that customer. Slide number 29 is that normalization which I talked about in terms of the IGW revenue in the fourth quarter of 2009. Slide number 30, if you look at that slide, clearly it shows the big swing is really in direct expenses, and the SIM card tax is reported in that direct expense number. So EBITDA margins was much lower than it was in the fourth quarter of 2009. Slide number 31, if you look at that slide, that's where you see the aggression in Robi. Subscriber acquisition in the fourth quarter was 13%, very aggressive by us, and that obviously has some impact on EBITDA margins. With that, lastly, I'd like to take you to the regional mobile assets. India, we talked about, I think you know the numbers, remain reasonably robust. M1 had a good quarter as well in terms of PAT and sub-acquisition. In the case of Cambodia, things are tough because there are too many players in a very small market, but we're sort of rescaling that business as well to reflect the new environment we operate in. I'll pass it back to Mr. Jamal.
Thank you, so I won't go through all the details on the moving forward slide on page 35 because more or less our strategies regards to both at a group level and the respective, of course, remain very much the same. We are focusing very much on execution diligently in all of those areas. So, for example, in the case of Celcom, broadband remains our major focus area. We are focusing very much on driving subscriber acquisition, but also from a profitability standpoint also. XL, the yield management strategy, continues to be the key cornerstone of the strategy. Dialog, the cost rescaling, continues to be so that we can achieve sustainability and full turnaround, hopefully our target by end of the year. And Robbie, we have opportunity given the industry growth and the low penetration to drive subscriber acquisition while, of course, maintaining balance between that and the profitability. Slide 36 gives you, we just reiterate our headline KPIs. Again, these are not forecasts. If I can repeat, not forecasts. They are merely the targets that we have developed, which reflect what will be the minimum number for us to perform against what we think will be against the competitive environment. Embedded within that is our belief in how we perform against all the competitors in the respective countries, and of course how we perform from our profitability standpoint. So that's those are the numbers. We are now from converged to a number of 3.6 billion ringgit for our capex. I know we kind of fluctuated that a bit over the last few months, all the way to 4.5 at one point. Then we went down to 4.0. But after combing through all the requests from the respective opcos and looking at how we can optimize our capex and from a both procurement and efficiency, we are now down to the number 3.6 billion for capex guidance for this year. Let me conclude before I pass to question and answer. Two major points I want to bring up. One is that, as you can see, we hit a very high profit of 921 million ringgit. It's kind of strange for me to say this, but I want to moderate expectation for the rest of the year with three sub-points. One is that it contains, of course, a couple of one-offs. So the number, as you can see, the growth was 8% quarter-on-quarter, or roughly close to 600 million. But I also caution to use that as the necessarily as the run rate because there are a couple of things we want to do. When we look back, what are the opportunities from a country perspective, we think, Robi, we should invest in the growth in the company in terms of product or areas of business. Mobile data and mobile broadband is something that we want to focus on. That, of course, will have some impact on the EBITDA and therefore profit, although not significantly, but certainly we are balancing between what we think in the future versus this year. So hence, that optimal point will have to be balanced, but the point to note is our keen investment in those areas. And last but not least, we should be mindful of the competition. I think first quarter is generally a bit milder than we thought, frankly, but I think we should take note that our competition can indeed put some pressure on the margin in most of the countries, including Malaysia, Indonesia, and Bangladesh. The related point is that with regards to profit, to moderate, we are still looking at a possible impairment of India, although we have done a major work very extensively, including getting third parties to look at it back in early this year. For last year, for fourth quarter impairment, we decided that there's no strong reason to do that. But as a responsible company, we are continuing to do that, and we are going to do another extensive work by middle of this year, taking into account the recent development on 3G plus whatever else. At this point in time, we don't think we need to do that. But again, we just want to make sure that that's being parked as a possibility. Maybe not likely, but still as a possibility. That's one major point in terms of to moderate expectation of profit. The second major point is that what, as a company, we are gravitating towards what we call sustainability performance. Maybe not so much on quarter and quarter, because things can happen on quarter basis, but definitely year on year. So the whole strategy for the company, apart from specific revenue and other strategies, is to make sure that from a financial standpoint, we ensure continued growth in revenue, EBITDA, and all the way to PAT on a year-on-year basis, which means that not just from performance perspective, but from a risk management perspective, like interest, like Forex, like any other possibilities that could jeopardize performance, we want to manage that very nicely so that we can turn in pretty good sustainable performance year-on-year on the three matrix, including the fourth one, our ROIC matrix. With that, I conclude my presentation, and we will proceed with the question and answer. Thank you.
So we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Navin Killa with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, this is Navin Killa from Morgan Stanley. Congratulations on the strong results. I had three questions. The first was with regards to IDEA. Now that you have a pretty decent visibility on the 3G license bids and what have you, do you foresee the possibility of an equity issue there? And what is your strategy with regards to participating in any such issue? Do you want to use that opportunity to increase your stake, if at all? That's my first question. The second question was with regards to Bangladesh, where obviously your margins in the quarter have come under pressure. I guess the question I had was, given the impending entry of Bharti, is it fair to assume that this kind of a trend line could continue for at least the near term, I guess, in your attempt to try and maybe make it more difficult for them to make an impact there? And then the third question I had was with regards to your cash balance, which obviously has now piled up nicely, you know, in view of your CapEx guidance and what have you. What is your latest thoughts on the dividends? Thank you.
Navin, hi, it's Yusuf. IDEA, yes, with 3G now out of the way, it's clear how much IDEA is going to spend, and the number is, what, $1.28 billion US. Do we foresee an equity issue? I think that Jamal had articulated earlier that we don't. IDEA has made it very clear that at least in terms of the licensing costs, it has sufficient funds. It's raised 37 billion rupees. Previously, is looking to raise now 25 billion rupees today, and they have cash on the balance sheet, which will let them fund at least the license plus 2G capex and some 3G capex for this year. In the medium term, I think we'll have to defer to IDEA in terms of their plans. Do we have an appetite to increase our share, or do we have to have to participate in IDEA? I think if you look at the terms of the agreement, when we acquired our stake in IDEA, which is embedded in IDEA's Articles of Association, we have the right that we cannot be diluted from our 20% stake. So if there is a cash call, then obviously we'll review it. But, you know, I think that participating in that cash call is probably something that we'll do. In respect of Bangladesh, will the trend continue? Bharti, I think, you know, there was a lot of noise when they entered the market, and clearly they are a very big operator in that region. But what we've seen so far is that there's been a delay with the launch of the Bharti brand. While it is still operating as Warid, and now that's being pushed forward to July. So I think, you know, they have their own issues in trying to get their hands on that business. The aggression you've seen so far from us, to be perfectly honest, has nothing to do with Bharti. We believe that we have an opportunity in that market to gain market share. And if you look at the 2009 results, we gained market share from Grameenphone primarily, and that will continue. And I think from the guys on the ground in Bangladesh feel that this is a good time, whether Bharti is there or not. So I think that, it, to me, at least it's got nothing to do with Barclays. We're just being aggressive and we're managing to hold on to those customers as well. On the cash balance, the dividend. On the cash balance, we had articulated that clearly as you point out, HoldCo cash is now nearly 4.5 billion ringgit, and it's all sitting at the top. The dividend policy initially was a function of our capital structure. At this point in time, we were looking to have a capital structure where our net debt to EBITDA was about 1.5 times. I suppose we're close to that point already. And I suspect that by the first half or the latest the third quarter, we will articulate a proper dividend policy. But at the time being, there is no announcement to be made on that.
Thanks a lot.
The next question comes from the line of Roshan Ra with Nomura, Singapore.
Hi. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. The first question is, given that we already have the guidance for the group as a whole, could you share with us any color in terms of what are you looking in terms of the revenue growth, EBITDA, margin, and the kind of trends we are likely to see at Celcom specifically? And the follow-up question related to Malaysia is, how do you see the competitive landscape coming up there? Any particular risk that you'd like to highlight in this particular market? Yeah, those are the two questions.
Yeah, thanks. I'll pass to Dr. Trisha, the CEO of Celcom, to give you answer for the two questions.
I mean, the first one, I think that Sally takes the target set for Celcom. Since the headline KPI have already been announced for the group, so we probably just share the set targets for the year for Celcom in terms of both revenue and EBITDA. We'll take that one first.
Okay. So as far as the revenue growth is concerned, the market, based on the market research that's been done, the information that we've got, the growth is around 10%. We are expecting to grow by about 9% in terms of revenue. EBITDA growth will be slightly below 10 percentage point in terms of for the whole year. That's the expectation at this point in time. I think what we've done in with respect to Q1 is generally a very tough quarter, and we've started fairly well with respect to quarter. Especially Q1, we are coming off a very, very significantly large Q4, and we started off Q1 well, and hopefully we should be able to expect to meet those numbers for the year as a whole.
On the competitive landscape, you see all three players basically are pushing on mobile broadband. You've seen the aggressive plan put forward by the new entrants, basically from Digi, and we presume that more aggression is coming on the Maxis plan. We have also seen quite clear indication on all three players expanding network capacity and upgrading to meet customers' demand. That would probably be applicable to all three players as well throughout the next three quarters. We are also facing a very aggressive on-the-ground competition at the moment, given the World Cup fever that's being addressed at least within the context of the Malaysian market. But I think the emphasis on our current core business will remain as per plan. Celcom will remain aggressive on our segment strategy. We will continue to push our cost low through our smart spending activities and cost saving activities that we have identified together with the group on the CMP plan. And over and above that, we will invest behind our retail and customer CLM program to make sure that we have an edge at least within the second half of the year over our competitors moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, just one question if I could ask. What are your thoughts on selling down further stake in Excel? Do you have any trigger points or timelines on that?
No plans whatsoever, actually.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Kelvin Goh with CIMB.
Oh, hi. Good evening. I have four questions. First one's on your CAPEX. Could you give us a CAPEX breakdown, please? And secondly is on your KPIs. You did indicate that you might review that, from your previous quarter, but it looks like the revenues and EBITDA KPI numbers are still the same. But don't you think they look a bit conservative? And I'd like to know what are your assumptions behind there. For example, your Forex assumptions there, especially for the rupiah, and perhaps even for the Sri Lankan and Bangladesh currencies. Third question is on your guidance for Bangladesh. What do you expect for the top line and margins? And my fourth question relates to how you normalize your PATAMI. Basically referring to slide number 9, you previously used to back out the interest expense from the acquisition of IDEA. Not quite sure if you still do that. If you can just clarify how these numbers are arrived and compared to the previous methods of arriving at the normalized EBITDA, when you did it in the previous quarters. Thanks.
Thanks, Gavin. Let me just try to answer in general, and then I'll pass to Natiso for the common statistics. On the KPI, let me go to the KPI first. At a sound based on the first quarter results, especially the ROIC looks to be on the conservative side. Perhaps, like I said, that's the minimum number that we should perform, not a forecast. We believe at this point in time we could do a bit better than that. But I won't jump into making any conclusion with regard to revenue and EBITDA growth yet. To put to perspective, on a margin EBITDA growth, and related to that is the other margin, we're looking at for Celcom to maintain in the mid-40s. So we don't expect it to go beyond the first quarter. So that has to be moderated. Similarly, for Excel, although we registered 51% last quarter, we believe that high 40s would be a better reflection of total year-end performance. And in the case of Dialog, of course, there are room for improvement, but high 20s would be a more reflection on that. And finally, for Robi, mid-20s to high 20s would be a good reflection of what we think will happen by end of the year. So if you sum it up, the numbers, EBITDA growth 14.1%, could be slightly on the conservative side, but again, those are subject to further pressure on both competition and some of the investments I mentioned earlier that we will make that might reduce some of the numbers, and therefore back to the back to the KPI of 14.1%. On the second question, the other question on the the guidance on Robi, I can't give you specific guidance on Robi. Suffice to say that we expect a double-digit growth, easily beyond 20% for revenue, and like I said, margins will be probably in the region of between mid to high 20s. On PATAMI, on the normalized PATAMI, going back to slide 9, we have taken up for the first time Q&Q IDEA and anything related to IDEA because we have reached a point where it is basically operational performance. Because fourth quarter, there's full impact of the profit and also interest, similarly on the first quarter. Although it's not balanced out, but it's part of what we call operational performance from now on. But if we were to compare first quarter to 2010 versus first quarter 2009, IDEA will still appear, both financing element and profit contribution. So that's the rationale behind taking out IDEA, because to me, it's already back to the operation.
So there's a difference in how you define your normalized PATAMI this quarter compared to the previous quarters, yeah?
Yeah, for the first time, it's different. We just take out all related to IDEA has been taken out.
Right, okay.
So therefore, it reflects the 8% operational growth.
Okay. Can I just...
you want to complete on the CAPEX breakdown? Let me pass to Datiso.
Yeah, guidance-wise, as a group, it's still 3.6 billion, as we said earlier. Of that, Just rough numbers, Excel is probably about 2 billion ringgit, Telkom about a billion, the others are pretty small, 250 million ringgit each, and nothing much in Cambodia.
So 250 for Dialog, 250 for Robi.
Yeah.
That's about three and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Oh, just one quick question, if I may. This is more to a question for of Chari at Cellcom. Based on our previous meeting, you sort of indicated that there could be more accelerated depreciation. I had impression it was about 80 over million to be of accelerated depreciation to be taken over three quarters, but it doesn't appear to be the case this quarter.
Okay, this is on, that's a good question. This is on the IN platform that we are replacing at this point in time.
Yeah.
So we've finally awarded the contract to one of the suppliers. We're still in negotiation with respect to signing of the agreements with them. And so instead of two quarters, we thought originally that we'll write off. The auditors advised us to probably do it because by the time the implementation takes place, it's going to take one more quarter. So we'll probably write it off over a period of three quarters. That's why you find a slightly lower depreciation charge coming in Q1.
But from what I gather, Q1's depreciation was a lot lower versus the previous quarter.
That's because when we did the Q4, we assumed that by June we'll finish off the whole thing, and then we took one-third of 81 million written off in Q4. And Q1, we didn't take that. Q1, we are spreading it further by one more quarter. Yeah, that's why you find it slightly lower.
So are you saying that then there could be you could take it up, you could take a hit in the next couple of quarters?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Because we are going ahead with the IN replacement. That's a part of the investment strategy for Cellcom, and we'll continue to do that. Yes.
Sorry, I don't think it's a hit. I think what we did last year was that we accelerated depreciation on IN. It was reflected in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. There's been a delay in implementation of the new IN, and instead of writing it back, which the auditors have said that we could, we have decided not to. So the numbers you see in the first quarter are impairment of that IN platform based on that quarter alone. So there's no hit in the future quarters.
Oh, there's no more...
There's no more.
Okay, so what you see now of 186 is probably a representative of what the run rate will be.
That's right, for depreciation.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Hassan Koo with Merrill Lynch.
Hi, thank you very much again for the call and a good set of results. Congrats on that. Just wanted to check on two things. One is on the Cellcom. Could just give me an indication of how much wireless broadband revenues is wireless broadband is contributing to the revenues at this stage. That's the first question. The second question is more of a clarification. For CAPEX, you've given out that it's 250 Dialog, 250 Robi. How much is it for Cellcom again? The CAPEX for this year.
That's always a billion ringgit.
1 billion ringgit, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's it for me. Thank you very much.
Well, the first question is 8% for first quarter.
8%?
Yeah, 8%
for
first quarter.
How much was it at the same time last year?
First quarter last year?
Yeah.
Very, very small.
But the whole of last year was 6%.
Sorry, say again?
The whole of last year, the whole
entire
calendar year of last year was 6%, but first quarter load is 8%.
8%, okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And these are just dongle revenue, actually. This is dedicated broadband only, okay?
Understand. Thanks for the clarification.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Pendo with GIC.
Good evening. Thank you for the call. Just a couple of questions. The Cellcom EBITDA margin, obviously, still very strong. Your thoughts on how much left there is to go? I know you highlighted the fact that network costs are now below 10%. In particular, on those network costs, how much further can you cut them? Second question on Dialog, first profit for quite a while. Your views on the trend of that profit growth going forward, how fast can we expect it to normalize? Thank you.
On question number one, I think we have, as Dr. Yusuf said initially, embarked on smart spend, and that has started yielding results. Apart from the amount of money that we've saved in terms of the networks, we're also looking at all other areas. We are not actually cutting costs. We are investing wherever it is needed, especially when it comes to marketing, when it comes to incentives. We continue to make sure that the trade is well taken care of so that it is driving an incremental revenue. But what we are looking for is trying to drive wastages in a way. And so the smart spend initiatives are actually helping. There's a KPI that has been laid out to all the employees within the organization, and the departments have got a specific target. They're coming back and providing suggestions for improving the cost. And I think this will continue for the whole year, and I think there's a fair amount of aggression right from the CEO to all the employees. To avoid wastages and creatively think in terms of spending the money in a different way so that the EBITDA margin gets better.
But I think from an expectation perspective, we are still guiding towards mid-quarter.
Okay.
On a question from on Dialog, I think Hans on the line. Hans?
Yes, I hope you can hear me.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I think the question was with regard to the growth in profits, when it could stabilize. What we are seeing right at the moment is all the cost rescaling initiatives which were put in place in 2009 gaining traction, and quarter-on-quarter cost savings would continue for the next few quarters. In parallel with this, we are seeing a revenue growth of anywhere between 1.5% to 3% quarter on quarter. So I would say that we could expect similar growth in profitability over the next few quarters before stabilization thereafter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Claire Chin with CLSA.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I think about three questions. Firstly, on Cellcom, I don't know whether I heard correctly from Dato' Yusof, you mentioned something like normalized EBITDA at 47 to 48% for first quarter. If that's correct, what was the normalization for, and is this going to be sustainable? Secondly is, I think Dato' Shazali mentioned the World Cup. Is that going to have any significant impact on data revenues and margins for Cellcom? And thirdly, also on Cellcom, I do remember you talking about Cellcom raising something like 3 to 5 billion ringgit in Islamic bonds sometime this year. Is that still going to happen? What sort of a coupon rate are we looking at? And what's utilization of proceeds for? And one last question on Idea Cellular. Yes, we know how much 3G capex is going to cost. I'm wondering whether you can give us some guidance on 3G spectrum is going to cost $1 billion US. But do you have any guidance for 3G capex costs going forward for Idea Cellular? And what is your optimal capital structure for Idea Cellular? That's it.
Okay, I'll take probably question number one and three, and I'll leave the second question to Dr. Shazali to answer that. Now, in terms of normalized EBITDA, Dr. Yusuf was saying that it was around 46.8. So essentially, USP, which we are incrementally providing compared to That means it's a double-year USP that we are providing. We've stated this even in the past. That's about around 7.4 million. ESOS impact is about 3.4. And more importantly, we've also embarked on this alternative career program where we have spent additionally about 13.6 million as an additional charge to the salaries and wages line, which is a one-time for us. And if I add all the stuff, it's about 24.4 million. And the margin impact is about 1.4. So what we have declared is 45.4, and with this 1.4, it's about 46.8. The second question that you asked was, is this sustainable? And as Dr. Jamal said earlier on, I think at this point in time, we have done everything possible to go and drive the cost down. As I said, the Smart Spend initiative is working. But in terms of guidance, we'll still keep it at around 45. Right. And question number three that you raised in terms of raising of Islamic bond, yeah, that is well in progress. We hope to complete something in Q3. We will probably do it sometime in Q3. We should be able to close that and draw that money. The coupon rates are at this point in time confidential, but we don't want to go and disclose it because we're not signed on the dotted line. But rest assured that the rates are very competitive.
Okay, and my
utilization of proceeds.
It's Claire. Sorry, Yusuf. If you remember, there's about 4.2 billion ringgit debt at Holdco level. So as part of the capital management, that debt is being pushed down to Celcom, where we get a benefit of taxes being able to set off against the interest. So it's a refinancing of Holdco debt as part of tax management and capital management, capital structure management.
Okay, got that.
And on the World Cup, my response on that particular item was on the question on the comparative landscape that's going to happen in the next quarter moving forward in 2010. And my reaction to that was basically World Cup is currently being sponsored by our number one comparator, which means that the investment behind World Cup will be by Maxis, not by Celcom. But however, typically when one takes a sponsorship as big as the World Cup, then you will see a very aggressive and very offensive move by our competitors during the same period. So Celcom is taking a more defensive approach. We're not sponsoring the World Cup, at least for one thing, which means there will not be any impact on our internal sponsorship costs or advertising costs in relation to the World Cup. But we'll be playing more of a defensive role, anticipating what our competitors will be doing in the second half here.
Right, but we don't expect any, I don't know, enhancement in data revenue, maybe more SMSs going around with regards to, I don't know, scores
typically
or whatever?
Typically you will see that trend whenever, every 4 years when World Cup comes around.
Would it be significant?
Yes.
Okay.
We are seeing it already, so yes.
Okay. An idea?
On the last question, an idea, to be frank, idea is not itself, it's not given a guidance, so I don't think we're in a position to do that ourselves, being a public company itself, idea being a public company itself. We have been discussing with them certain numbers, but I have to let them make that announcement. On the 3G, maybe I digress a bit, a quick one on 3G. You know, we invested, they decided to... they won 11 circles, 1.28 billion US to be precise. It's interesting to note that on 11 circles, all the circles that they are number 1, 2, and 3, and 4, where in other words, they are at least leading or leaders in their respective circles, they won the 3G spectrum. And the other four were all in the radio in position. For 5, 6, and 7. So in other words, the areas that really matter where they are leading, they got this spectrum. I think the point I want to make is that very consistent with what they have guided and what we have guided, being very selective and strategic about the selection process, they have managed to actually do exactly that. So that's a big achievement by itself.
Just one final follow-up. Any thought on the recent proposed regulation on M&A ruling by the regulator in India?
It's very punitive, but it's still recommendations as such. So we don't have any additional comment on that.
Okay then, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Chung Chin Sung, BNP.
Hi, thanks for the call. I've got three questions. Firstly, on Celcom, the prepaid and postpaid net adds still look quite weak into the first quarter. I was just wondering whether this is because of inactive subscribers being taken off the network, or is it more because you're seeing more competition from other operators? And from what you've been seeing so far into the second quarter and also the competitive landscape, do you expect net adds to improve into the subsequent second to the fourth quarter? And second question is with regards to also Celcom, the mobile broadband net adds was very strong. And at the same time, we've been seeing quite a bit of competition on the ground, but yet your ARPU still seems to be holding up quite well. Can you give some color on how you know this was achieved, you know, the type of subscribers you've been taking up, and what do you expect going forward in terms of the ARPU trend? And lastly, also on Celcom, is on the CAPEX. So far in the first quarter, it seems to be quite low against your guidance of 1 billion for the full year. Is this just largely due to timing, or is it due to anything else, and does it imply any room for CAPEX for the full year to be much lower? That's it. Yeah.
I'll take those three questions. The first question is around net add. So we had a prepaid net add of about 106,000, postpaid net add of about 130,000, and more importantly, when it comes to broadband, we had about 124,000. For us, Q1 broadband was an excellent story. The programs were pretty effective. We went with a dongle-free option to the customers. The customers took it very well. Actually, at one point in time, we ran out of dongles to sell. Otherwise, our number could have been even much higher. We were not anticipating. We were actually anticipating about 200,000 dongles over a period of a whole year, and then we ended up spending about 120,000 in the first quarter itself. So it was a pretty positive story as far as the net adds are concerned from a broadband perspective. The prepaid prepaid net adds are also pretty healthy for Q1. Postpaid is slightly lower or slightly negative, but this is partly because of the cleanup that we are trying to do, making sure that we are focusing on the quality customers. At one point in time, because of the incentive schemes, we were just some of the prepaid customers were getting pushed into postpaid, and we have regularized this this quarter. So that's one of the reasons why you're finding the net add slightly negative. But as you can see, the overall bad debt situation has improved substantially, which means that we are now getting some quality customers there. Okay. The second question is the ARPU is holding. As I said, majority of them, we've got about three packages out of that, 68 and 98 packages are very popular, and the 68 packages are very well received by the customers. And with the kind of volume that we are doing, I think that's holding well. So it's not a major surprise, you know, between the number. There's only $1 difference between Q4 and Q1, so that's holding fairly well. The third question is around CAPEX. Why is it low? But fundamentally, it is a cash outflow that's being shown. What we've done is in Q1, we went to the board and got an approval for a substantially large amount of money, close to about $400 million of all our requirements for the next 6 months. The board was pretty pleased with what we did. We looked at all our requirements. We went to the suppliers, negotiated a fairly decent price because we were able to sort of see what we needed for the next 6 months. We have issued the POs. And as you move into Q2, as and when these equipments are brought into the country and deployed, you will see an increase in capital expenditure. But the commitments have already been made. There's a fair amount of work that's being done to enhance the quality of network in Central, especially when it comes to broadband. I think we are moving everything into IP. Instead of 3.2, we are moving everything into 14.4. Instead of having one channel element, we are having two and three in some cases to avoid congestion. So the investments are pretty healthy in Central. We are also taking some of the stuff into Sabah and Sarawak to get more customers.
Okay, yeah, just a follow-up question on the mobile broadband. Given the very strong net adds that you saw in the first quarter, How is the utilization rate of the network now, compared to the end of last year? And do you think because of the fact that you've got a lot more subscribers and probably your utilization rate have gone up, you think there'll be a slowdown into the next few quarters in terms of net adds?
Okay, before we answer on the network utilization, I just want to add a few more colors on the acquisition and also the reload program at Celcom.
Okay.
Pertaining to some areas in sales and distribution. As you may be aware that the way the reload market has operated over the years has always been on physical reload cards. If you remember in year 2006, as we first started the whole transformation journey, 95% of our reloads are done through physical reloads and only 5% are virtual. Moving into 2010 today, the numbers have swung. It's almost 50% virtual and 50% in physical. That have an implication in terms of how we want to play in terms of cost and margin to the trade in relation to distribution, which gives us some room to maneuver when we look at our cost of serving the trade and cost of acquiring the customers. That we will show quite strongly moving forward in the next few quarters. At the same time, we use the same network of voice for broadband as well. So given the push for mobile broadband, there will be obvious priority given by the trade at a certain point in time whether to push postpaid voice or to push data. And you see this trend across all operators, and significantly we being the leader at the moment. The minute they push broadband, you will see there was a slight emphasis, less emphasis on voice. So we're looking at those areas with the trade now. We've launched our network of outlets under Blue Cube aggressively, as you may see in the first quarter, and that will continue into the second quarter as well. And we have also solicited additional 350 IT resellers throughout the whole country to reinforce our mobile broadband services. These are, again, away from the traditional trade that's doing voice into the second quarter. So you will see probably a comeback of postpaid, a strong relaunch on the 1+5 program in quarter two, and a sustainable growth within the mobile broadband program in quarter two, three, and four. And having said that, utilization of network, yes, there are a continuing expansion program that we have done. At the end of quarter four, if you remember, we slowed down on some of our drives to get mobile broadband subscribers, largely because we were doing some extensive expansion work in capacity and also in quality, especially in central area within Klang Valley. That program is still ongoing and will be completed by end of June this year, which means that a complete upgrade of the whole central region will be completed by then. And that would match against the push of subscriber numbers within the central area. While at the same time, they're pushing now a lot of broadband subscribers outside of central, where utilization is still very low, especially those areas where our 3G sites are operating, the eastern region, Sabah and Sarawak, up north in Penang, Kedah and Perlis, and also in some selected areas within Johor Bahru and Negeri Sembilan Melaka. I think that's... Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Yin Ho Hong with Hong Long Investment.
Hi. Thanks very much for the call and congratulations on a great set of results. Most of my questions have been answered. I just have one question with regards to the dongles for Celcom. I think you previously mentioned that there was 200,000 for 2010, and you've already done 124. How sustainable do you think this 124 will be going forward? Are you still aiming for the 200,000 for the full year?
Can you speak a little louder? We couldn't hear.
Right, sorry. My question is actually for the with regards to Celcom dongles.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you've already done 124 in the first quarter of 2010. And you are actually aiming for 200,000 for the full year. So I guess should we expect the full year to be much higher than that, or are you still aiming for the 200,000?
All right. Okay. I think yes. We can definitely expect much more. This is based on the gross ads. not on the net adds, as you can see. Any new customer who walks in here, we have decided to give a free dongle, which is a good value proposition for the customer. That is took us to where we are today at the end of Q1, right? And so that's a good program. We want to continue the program, and this program will probably drive more dongles to be sold. And what we're seeing also is that the price points have come down substantially because of the volume that we have. We are in a position to go back to the vendors to drive much lower costs. And at one point in time, the price of a dongle was anywhere between 700 to 800 ringgit, and today you can get it for less than $100, 100 ringgit, for example. So it's a pretty positive thing to do, and also helps the customer to start using it when they are on the move.
I see. Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
The next question comes from Mitchell Kim with Moon Capital.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First is more the big picture question. And thus far, Excel and both Cellcom has delivered on growth. But looks like if you could just share with me what your views on where the next growth will come from over the next couple of years. It looks like Cellcom probably has a couple of quarters of growth left, but they'll probably stabilize after that based on your comments. And perhaps you think that XL will continue to have growth, and if you could comment on that. And obviously Idea is a black box at this point. So if you could share with us, you know, it's just more than 2-year outlook, that would be appreciated. And second question is back on Cellcom. I know there's been a number of questions on this, but you mentioned that mobile broadband has been a driver of growth. But looking at your ARPU, perhaps you could clarify that. I do notice the postpaid ARPU has declined in first quarter, and you state that it's seasonality, but first quarter last year, the ARPU, postpaid ARPU was much higher. And also I do see that voice MOU has declined in first quarter as well. So I'm just wondering, is there any sort of substitution effect in place because of the wireless broadband or mobile broadband? If you could comment on that. And related to that, it was my understanding from XL's perspective that wireless broadband or dongles, because of the network capacity pressure that it puts on, that they were somewhat very careful about that. How is Cellcom strategy different than XL, if any?
Okay, let me try to answer the first question, and then maybe I can ask to deep dive a bit on XL. But from a group perspective, the growth that we see will be across the board in general, but from a percentage perspective, respectively, the highest will come from Robi in Bangladesh, followed by XL in Indonesia. So the rest will be relatively lower in a single-digit arena. So that's basically from a revenue growth perspective, a country perspective. From product perspective, you will see that all the countries that we are in, our non-voice services, particularly mobile data and mobile broadband, will increase substantially across the board. Mobile broadband in Cellcom in particular, but mobile data in XL and other countries. So that's from a product perspective. So that will be the growth for the next 2 years, at least from a revenue perspective. From EBITDA perspective, this year you should expect the growth will come primarily from XL and Dialog, and to some extent Cellcom. This is from a growth perspective. And I think next year we hope the three countries plus Robi. So I guess the point is it will be reasonably across the board with some higher than the rest given their growth stage at this point in time. I hope I've somehow given you a feel for our growth next 2 years. Let me pass
okay.
to, let me ask Vince to give you a bit more deep dive on to give you a bit flavor on Excel.
If we look at, let's say, the Indonesian markets in general and Excel in that market, Voice penetration in Indonesia is not all that high. I think by now we have probably around 120 million subscribers, which is roughly about 50% penetration. So for the coming 3-4 years, we anticipate that subscriber penetration will continue to go up, be it that, of course, lower quality subscribers will be acquired than the existing base. We see also since the last 12 months, a healthy take-up of data services.
So William, can you speak a little bit louder, please? Thank you.
We also see over the last 12 months a reasonable take-up of, a very healthy take-up of data services. So if we look forward, basically I think we are looking for the market at probably for the next 3 years still at a double-digit growth profile, where the growth is coming from a mix of new subscribers, maybe not so much from SMS revenues, but definitely also from incremental data revenues. So for the foreseeable future, I think for the market we are looking at double-digit revenue growth potential, and it's definitely also what for HL we are looking at.
On the second question, Terry?
The question is around postpaid ARPU. Why is it declining? There are a couple of a few reasons. One, as the broadband business grows, what happens is it is the average drive, average ARPU will come down, because the majority of them are on a 68 monthly package. So as you can see, our average ARPU is about 90. And when you put in a lot of 68 into, obviously the average will come down. But more importantly, for Q1, it is more seasonality. Q1 is generally across the region, it's a pretty tough quarter and a slow quarter, especially when it comes, when you compare that with Q4. Q4 had 2 days extra on top of it. You've also got a lot of festivals and New Year, Christmas, where, you know, it drives a lot of SMS and calls and all that stuff, and that comes down. And on top of it, there's just one more piece. You know, I've given you about four reasons already. The one more piece is around one particular package called OnePlus 5, where we had an FUP, and we applied a little bit of brake on, we imposed the OnePlus 5 FUP on it, and that's also driving a slightly lower ARPU. But when you compare it with Q3, we had about 91, and Q1 it is 90, so it's not a bad situation. I hope that answers the question. Thank you.
And any impact on MOU, or is that not relevant?
I think it's, again, 419 to 346 is partly because of seasonality, plus the 2 days that you don't have in Q1, plus the OnePlus 5 FUP. I think it's by and large the same story across. Q1 is generally a tough quarter for the industry as a whole. So especially when you come after about 5.8% growth in Q4 over Q3, that's why it's showing up.
We maybe can answer the third question.
Or your question with regards to what Cellcom is doing and what XL is doing on the wireless broadband. Let me comment from the XL perspective. I think we are looking at some very country-specific differences here. And I think the main difference is actually the composition of terminals that people use to access Internet and to use data services. What we see in Indonesia is that the vast majority, and we are looking at more than 90% of users, is actually using the handset as a terminal to access the Internet, rather than using a computer or a laptop with dongle. So looking at our own base, we currently have about 12, 13 million subscribers on a regular basis accessing data through the handset, whereas we have about 50-60K users accessing data through the dongle. Also, revenue composition is basically quite different. The vast majority of the revenue in our case is coming from the data access through the handset. For that reason, given the fact that in terms of number of users as well as in terms of revenue generation, that most of the revenue and users are is coming from data access through the handset, that's clearly the area that we are focusing on. That's not to say that we are not doing anything on the dongles. We do have a couple of broadband subscribers. But clearly, given the revenue momentum that we are seeing on the data through handset, that's for the time being the main area that we want to grow and focus on.
I think if I can just add, one of the glaring differences between Malaysia and Indonesia is that the PC penetration in Malaysia is in the close to 20%, whereas in Indonesia it's less than 2%. So to push further mobile broadband, that's a real limitation on the PC itself. Now that scenario will definitely change, given that PC will reduce its price, and you can see netbooks and all the likes are coming into the to the industry. But that will take maybe a few more years before it reaches that aggressive growth. So there's a fundamental difference between the two.
One of the reasons why I asked that question is that I thought it was my understanding that you thought, at least in Indonesia, that wireless broadband was a low-margin business, and I was wondering whether that's different for Malaysia.
What's the question again?
It was my understanding that dongles and wireless broadband was a low-margin business. And therefore, why is it different in Malaysia?
Well, for one thing, if you look at the two countries, first let me step back a bit. The margins for dongles, the big screen mobile broadband, generally still low everywhere that we see. So that's first point. In the case of Celcom, it's actually hovering in the low 20s margin. So it will take time. I think volume is critical for it to increase. Secondly, in most of our operations except M1, we are still not fully IP transformed yet. That will take some time. M1 has experienced once they transform to fully IP, except for 2G, they can see significant increase in profit, reduction in cost. So we have not yet. Now, if you look compare between Celcom and XL, Celcom has reached a much higher volume of 500,000, 600,000 versus XL. So obviously the cost structure is different. So a lot of investment required to reach that state of critical mass, shall I say, both in terms of customers and the network platform. I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah, thank you. Very, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a follow-up from Kelvin Goh with CIMP.
Hi, yeah, I've got three questions. So one is referring to your debt push down to Celcom. Could you give us guidance as to what you think the tax savings would be on a full-year basis? That's number one. Number two is on question for Wim in Indonesia. Just like to know what you did differently from your competitors, which gave you the fairly strong first quarter compared to your competitors. And the last question is on, I'd like to know what, referring to your Bursa announcement, what does total comprehensive income mean? Thanks.
Okay. Let me start with number three because we've been asking the question ourselves. You want to say the question? Yep, our chief controller. Is he struggling with this terminology?
Hi. The comprehensive income is a new requirement under the FRS 139, and this basically is the translation gain and loss when we do a consolidation of foreign subsidiaries or foreign investment for our book is bringing it.
Could you speak up a little?
Oh, sorry. The comprehensive income is a new requirement under the FRS 139 reporting requirement. It basically represents the translation gain and loss coming out from translating the balance sheet of the foreign investment that we have into ringgit. It is a pure presentation standpoint and has no P&L impact. It is a presentation requirement.
Okay, clear. Thanks.
It's more of a disclosure rather than it doesn't affect PATAMI at all.
On question number one, I think the tax saving is expected to be anywhere between 50 to 60 million approximately.
50 to 60?
Yeah, on an annual basis.
On an annual basis.
All right, thanks.
Kelvin, on your second question, interesting question, but I rather prefer to take it offline because I don't think that this is the setting to be too.
Okay, sure.
Our competitors on what we have done differently.
Okay.
apart from me, we have weed they don't have.
Yes.
The next question comes from the line of David Lim with ECM.
Hi, I'd just like to clarify on how much is the gross debt and cash holdings at the holding company level. Thanks.
As of 31st March, gross debt at holding company was 4.2 billion in ringgit and another 250 million in dollars. We had cash if you add the proceeds from the sale of Excel, which happened on 31st March, but only came through on 2nd of April, total cash at group is 4.5 billion.
Okay,
at group,
you.
At HOLDCO.
All right.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. The next question comes from the line of Rina Verma with Merrill Lynch.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for the call. Just a couple of quick questions. Firstly, on your dividend policy, I know you've said earlier that you will announce a payout policy in the third quarter. I'm just trying to understand if, you know, there's any major debate there that, you know, prevents an earlier announcement of the payout policy. That's my first question. And the second is on impairment. Issues with regard to the Idea investment. If you can just please give us some insight into what might be the point of debate there as well, especially now that Vodafone has taken an impairment charge. And finally, on your ROIC guidance, can you please help us compare the current ROIC profile of different assets with your headline KPI ROIC guidance? Thank you very much.
The debate with dividend policy, I don't think it's so much a debate. I think what the board is having to think about is in respect of, you know, where as a business Axiata is in the future, and I think that is now resulting in sort of refinement of a policy which we already have. In fairness, you know, we have a dividend policy where we pay up to 30% of our net profit as dividends, but we feel that we would need to provide greater clarity to our investor base, not just in terms of what that dividend policy is, but how we actually intend to grow that dividend over time. So it just may be, you know, another couple of quarters refining that message rather than a debate in itself.
Yusuf, thank you for that. You know, but we can clearly see from your numbers and from, you know, the balance sheet ratios that you are doing, you know, fairly well with regard to your own comfort levels on leverage, etc. So I'm just wondering why this, you know, why this stickiness with third quarter in terms of the final announcement?
There's no, you know, stickiness. I think it just basically gives us time over the next two quarters. The first half of the year will be done, and I, you know, as you can imagine, the deleveraging exercise within the group has happened very, very quickly. I mean, in the last 12 months ago, we were not even thinking about dividend cash levels and all the rest of it. So the businesses have done exceptionally well in a short space of time, and I think as a result of that, we are slightly more cautious about announcing the dividend policy just in case that, you know, things do change in terms of the business environment. So there's nothing sinister about this. It is purely us being careful, making sure that the numbers are in by the first half, and then refining that message when it finally goes out in the third quarter.
Sure. Thank you.
On the Idea of impairment, I think this was something which we continue to debate, that every quarter we run an exercise at group level to decide whether there is any impairment or not. What we've done is our approach to impairment is clearly based on a DCF. If you look at Idea's performance over the last couple of quarters, they have in fact been trending slightly higher than our own original estimates, and therefore the DCF number does look reasonably okay. It does not require any impairment. clearly, the big swing in the DCF is our assumptions on the future ARPUs, MOUs, terminal value, and so forth. And those numbers are something which we continue to test. But, you know, we haven't seen anything yet. I can't comment on what Vodafone did on its numbers and why it did what it did. But I think suffice to say that the rigorousness and the robustness of our DCF model suggests that there is no impairment. But this is something which we review every quarter, and clearly over the next couple of quarters, what will be more crucial, I suppose, is that future number. And if the future number, you know, changes dramatically in terms of those parameters, then clearly there will be some form of impairment. But so far, in the first quarter, we haven't seen anything just yet.
Okay.
ROIC guidance. Malaysia, as you can imagine, has a very high ROIC, you know, anywhere between 70% to 80%, depending on what numbers you use. The other, of course, by virtue of their industry situation, where the, you know, price per minute remains low, it ranges between close to 0% to around 12%, for example, in the case of Excel. So that's a blended number, and that's why we get to that group ROIC of target of 12. But clearly, as we go forward, there is a target of 15% by 2012, and we hope to get there very soon. ROIC for us, definition excludes cash. So we've assumed that the cash is not part of our capital. It's net of cash, zero cash.
Yeah, you said 12% ROIC for the group, but your KPI is 10.7,
sorry,
right?
Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah.
KPI is 10.7, 11%, and as I said earlier, you know, that the target is 15% by 2012.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very useful.
The next question comes from Jiris Jessingham with Macquarie.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for the call and congratulations on your numbers. Just some follow-up questions again for Cellcom. Firstly, could you sort of share with us what the data, you know, the split between data and voice revenues are at Cellcom for the mobile business? And on the data side, you know, if you could have some color as to how much of it's coming from SMS, advanced data services, and wireless broadband. And secondly, if I could just clarify comments earlier made about the accelerated depreciation at Cellcom, have we already taken this, or do we still have another 54 million ringgit of accelerated depreciation to go for the rest of this year? And finally, I suppose for Dr. Jamal or Dr. Shazali, the question would be, you know, we've had a very good start to the year. It looks like the industry may well end up with a positive quarter. What could go wrong for the rest of this year that could drag us all down into the pits again?
What, sorry? The first question is
on data revenue, data versus voice. At this point in time, we are looking at about 30.4% of the total revenue for data plus value-added services. It's 30.4%. It used to be at about 25.2%, and it's gradually increasing. We are seeing a substantial progress even in pay-per-use, which is good. And the value-added services platform, the content management platform, is also driving a fair amount of revenue for us. So I think it has gone up from 24.2 in Q1 2009 to 30.4. That answers the first question. The accelerated depreciation. So essentially, we still have some more to go. We've got two more quarters to go and write this off. So based on the advice from the auditor, instead of finishing off everything by Q2, we will probably extend it by one more quarter. That's it. So totally, there was about 81 million out of which, so we wrote off about 27 in Q4. We took another 20 million in Q1, and the balance will be written off in Q2 and Q3. What could go wrong this year?
Okay, I think I'll leave it to Dr. Jamal.
On the third question, it's an interesting question. We, as you know, that we have
to just reiterate our point, we're looking industry, depending on which industry forecast you've seen, the industry is looking at about 6 to 7% growth for this year. We are targeting slightly higher than the industry and slightly higher than the two of our bigger competitors. So far, we think we could achieve that. However, what could go wrong? One of the things that we do concern with is, of course, the price competition. We do not expect a major surprise, but then again, it is possible that one of the two players become a bit more aggressive this year. The other one is the U-Mobile, being a new entrant. Again, it's very hard to say what they will do, but that could be, of course, another risk factor, depending on what they want to do with regards to their aggressiveness. So that could go wrong on the revenue side. On the profit side, we think that a mid-40s is a reasonable number and can contain certain shock, perhaps. We don't think that will be severely jeopardized. I hope to at least to some extent have answered that question.
I'm encouraged that your own projections have moved up closer to 10%. Thank you.
Can't hear you, Prem.
Can't hear you.
No, I'm encouraged that your own estimates have grown to close to 10%.
Yeah, it's a high single digit. That's what we're looking at right now.
Okay. And maybe just to follow up with Chari, with regards to the data revenue, the 30.4%, does that include or excludes wireless broadband?
It does. It includes, yes.
That includes
the 8% dongle business, and the balance are PPU as well as value-added services.
Okay, thank you very much.
Non-traditional SMS, it includes all non-traditional SMS.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
The final is a follow-up from Kelvin Goh with CIMP.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to follow up on the question on accelerated depreciation. Two questions, actually. First one is on the accelerated depreciation. So there will be a resumption in accelerating the depreciation in the second and third quarters. Is that correct? And my final question is on your holding company cash. Did I catch you correctly when you said it's $4.5 billion if you include the proceeds from the sale down of Excel?
That's correct. Question two is correct.
That's quite a big jump. I mean, even if as of your third quarter, your group cash itself was about 2.8. So, you know, even if you deduct off the say $2 billion from the $2 billion from the sale of Excel, say $2.5 billion, basically, you're suggesting that all the cash is held at a holding company. Most of the cash is actually the holding company.
Yes, we don't leave any cash at Cellcom level other than for operating purposes. Everything else gets flowed up to the holding company.
But judging from your Cellcom head, but based on your slide number 15, Cellcom has $1.5 billion in cash.
Yeah, that's correct.
So then, doesn't it suggest that your group cash, your consolidated cash of 2.8 is a bit low then? I mean, I'm having difficulty reconciling all this.
Yeah, but see, if you look at the group cash, it's 2.8, and then trade and other receivables is $3.7 billion, of which $1.7 billion. Is due for the Excel proceeds.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't I do this, Calvin? Why don't I give you a reconciliation after this?
Okay, you can maybe email me or call me.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, thanks. And just a last question on accelerated depreciation.
Yeah, I'll answer that question. Sorry about it. Maybe I should have given you specific numbers. Total impairment is $81 million. Okay.
Yeah.
This is this is the number that I gave you when you were here.
Yeah.
Out of that, in Q4, we wrote off 27, which is one-third of that $81 million.
Correct.
Should have in Q1 and Q2 written off 27 and 27. Instead, what the because the project was getting slightly delayed, in Q1 we wrote off 20, in Q2 there will be another 17, and in Q3 there will be another 17, which will again total up to 81, and that's the plan.
All right. Got it. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. We will now pass the call back over to Dato Sri. Please continue, sir.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for the call. That's the answer. Again, thank you for joining us for this conference call. I'll see you next quarter. Have a good weekend.
Thank you to participants. Please disconnect all lines at this time.